Fellow runners, I'm your host, Finn Melanson, and this is the Run to the Top podcast, the podcast dedicated to making you a better runner with each and every episode. We are created and produced by the expert team of running coaches at runnersconnect.net, where you can find the best running information on the internet, as well as training plans to fit every runner and every budget. Here today, I'm excited to share with you the first rendition of our Training Plan Rescue Series, where a listener sends us their busted training plan and our coaches rescue it. In this episode, our head coach, Michael, analyzes and offers recommendations on the training plan from a listener named Alex, who's been aiming and falling short of his goal to break 340 in the marathon. You'll learn about the three big problems in Alex's current training plan, as well as the three high leverage changes he can make to run way under 340 off of his next cycle. If you're a runner who constantly struggles with gas, bloating, and cramps, check out Masszymes from Bioptimizers. Their digest enzymes can help get rid of stomach issues naturally. I'll explain more later in the episode and how you can save 10% at masszymes.com/run to the top. I'd also like to introduce you to a new sponsor of the show, Timeline Nutrition. Timeline has developed a groundbreaking product called MitoPure that actually revitalizes your mitochondria, which create energy in nearly every cell in your body. Later in the episode, I'll explain the science and how you can get a sweet discount.
Hey, Runners Connect and Run to the Top fans. This is Coach Michael, sub-4 miler and head coach here at Runners Connect, here with our first rendition of the Training Plan Rescue, where you send us your busted training plan, our expert coaches rescue it. Today, I'm going to share the story of Alex. Alex is a 52-year-old personal finance manager from Schenectady, New York. Oh, yeah, I made sure to pronounce that right, Schenectady. Earlier this year, Alex ran 22:26 for 5K. That's an excellent time. Then he geared his training towards the Buffalo, New York Marathon in May with a time goal of sub-340. Totally reasonable time for a 22:26 5K guy. But as we all know, the marathon does not quite like the word reasonable now, does it? So Alex went for it. He was even ahead of pace at the half. Man, that beer was going to taste sweet after crossing the finish line way under 340. And then Alex was introduced to our good friend, The Wall. And The Wall takes no prisoners. Alex was no different. He suffered and struggled his way to a still respectable 352. And that's where our story begins. I talked to Alex about his training plan. He averaged about 35 miles a week. He got up to even an 18-mile long run. He said he always ran about 8:30 to 9 minute per mile pace or faster. His easy days usually ended up around 9 flat per mile, but sometimes a little bit faster. And just for reference here, 340 is about 8:23 mile pace. For our kilometer folks out there, that's about 5:13 pace thereabouts per kilometer. So that gives you an idea of kind of like what he was aiming for based on his goal time. His easy days, again, just to reference back to that, usually around 9 minute pace, but sometimes faster. Some example workouts: 7 mile tempo at sub-8 minute pace, and 6 by mile at 7:40 down to 7:20 pace. Those are some really quality workouts. I asked him for his general thoughts on the training cycle. He said, "I was confident in my plan overall. I did some really hard workouts. I hit all my mileage goals. I barely missed any runs. I did strength work and stretching, missed some, but did most of them. Yet halfway through the race, I was cooked." So here's what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to give the big three problems with Alex's training plan. Then at the end, I will show what he can do in the next training cycle to run way, way faster in his next marathon. Let's dive into it. Number one big problem: Alex's paces are just too fast. There's a classic issue that occurs in the running community where people think to run a marathon at a certain time, so let's say 9 minute mile pace, you just go run 9 minute mile pace every single day. You know, I love to use extreme examples to illustrate this. So let's say that you wanted to beat Eliud Kipchoge. You want to run the world record in the marathon. You want to break 2 hours. Are you just going to go run sub-2 hour pace every day? You probably can't even run that. Most of us can't even run that for a quarter mile. So of course you're not going to go run sub-2 hour pace every single day. I like to use those extreme examples because they kind of illustrate that you just shouldn't do that. It doesn't make any sense. To give a slightly more at-home example, let's say you've run a four-hour marathon. If you want to run 3:30 in the marathon, you don't just suddenly say, I'm a 3:30 marathoner. I'm going to go run 3:30 pace every day, and that's going to be it. Most of you out there listening probably know that stuff just plain doesn't work. For Alex, I think a big issue is that 5K to the marathon, it just doesn't always convert. They're so different races. The 5K, the marathon is about 97.5% aerobic, whereas the 5K is about 84% aerobic. Usually I use that to make them closer. Like I say that the 5K is still extremely aerobic and you need a lot of aerobic power to run it. But in this case, it illustrates how far apart they are. Really, the best indicator, what we found at Runners Connect, the best indicator for a marathon and for like how to set up a good proper training plan is a half. It just is. The 5K is too quick. It's too speed reliant. The marathon, as most of you know, there's too many variables. It can go too wrong. It's too crazy. The half is typically what we have found to be the best indicator. But in general, with Alex, he's got this great 5K time, that 22:26, fantastic. It's just not converting to the marathon in this case. His easy days should be way, way slower. Based on what I've seen with his training, I think his easy days should be around 10-minute to 10:30 pace. 10:30 pace, ideally, I'd rather see it on that slower end. Alex needs to learn how to run easy, truly, truly easy. My strategy for easy days, you start incredibly slow and easy. I'm talking about one foot in front of the other, just kind of plodding along, especially those first 10 minutes or so of the run. Let your body pick it up naturally. So those first 10 minutes are real slow, real easy. I mean, you do not, I don't care what your watch says. I don't care what the pace is. Run slow, run easy, one foot in front of the other, and then you let your body pick it up naturally. If Alex did that, I bet his body would say, yeah, 10 flat, 10:30 pace sounds really great. That sounds awesome. And he's going to be able to run more mileage, handle higher quality workouts, but we'll talk about that shortly. And even his workout paces, you know, what Alex is doing, he's taking his 5K time and he's translating it all the way up to the marathon. As we just illustrated, they're just such different races. Marathon workouts are way different than 5K workouts. Notice I didn't say they're harder. 5K work has its own type of hard, which I think anyone out there who's done more intense 5K training can attest to, but it's just different. You know, think about the way you feel the last quarter mile of a 5K versus the last 5K of a marathon. It's so different the way you feel. They're both hard in their own way, but it's totally different. So I'll give some example workouts at the end that I think would have worked better for him. So the second big problem, not enough recovery built in. You know, I asked Alex about his typical energy levels, his recovery, his nutrition strategy, and he said, I generally feel decent day to day, but I'm often fatigued. It takes a lot of caffeine to get through the day. Obviously, Alex has a busy job. You know, he's got a family. He sleeps 6 to 7 hours a night. Good diet overall, not too much alcohol. I'll tell you what, guys, that's something I hear a lot. You know, right away when I was looking at Alex's plan, I noticed the plan looked intense. It's not super mega mileage. He said average about 35. His highest mileage week was around 40. Not super mileage, but, you know, solid. But everything is just fast. Every single workout, every easy run, all those hard tempos, fast, fast, fast. I don't want to claim to know Alex just on this one conversation that I had with him, but I can tell he's a high performer. He hates missing training. He holds himself to a high standard. There's some type A going on there. I don't mean this as an insult. These are all excellent qualities that unfortunately can just get you in a little bit of trouble in running. They can work against you in running. You know, I rarely see runners who don't train hard enough. Well, I mean, I do sometimes, of course. Of course, I see some runners sometimes who they just need to work harder. But most often at Runners Connect, the interesting thing is that what we see is we see runners who just train too hard. But what they're doing, they're training too hard intensity-wise. They're not taking enough rest, not enough recovery, not enough of a proper break. And that's definitely what's going on with Alex here.
I recently received a question from a listener. He wanted to know if it was possible to avoid digestion problems by eating only healthy organic food. It's a nice thought, but unfortunately, it's just not possible. You see, your natural ability to digest food declines with age. This is because your body produces fewer enzymes, which are the proteins responsible for digesting food. Fewer enzymes means more difficulty digesting food. Even organic foods won't provide enough enzymes to properly digest them. This is especially true if you cook your food, because cooking kills enzymes. This is why you may have digestion problems even after a healthy meal. Your body just can't produce enough enzymes to get the job done. This is where supplementing with a high-quality enzyme supplement can be a huge help. If you're looking to try enzymes to help with your digestive issues, we recommend MassZymes by Bioptimizers. It's a best-in-class supplement loaded with full-spectrum enzymes for digesting proteins, starches, sugars, fibers, and fats. Taking MassZymes daily helps top off your enzyme levels and replace the enzymes your body is no longer producing. After you start taking MassZymes, you may notice that you no longer feel bloated after meals, and it will help you absorb more nutrients. Plus, as a Run to the Top fan, you save an additional 10%. Just head to masszymes.com/run to the top and use code RUN10 to save an additional 10% on any purchase. Improving your mitochondria is one of the easiest ways to upgrade your performance and make your body work better. My friends at Timeline Nutrition have introduced a product called MitoPure that is the ultimate tune-up for mitochondria. Timeline Nutrition's MitoPure is backed by over a decade of research and is clinically proven to revitalize mitochondria. As we know, mitochondria are the energy generators at the heart of nearly every cell in our body. But new science is shedding light on just how critical mitochondria are to our health and performance. For example, researchers found that mitochondria sound the alarm when cells are exposed to stress or chemicals that could damage DNA. Plus, as we age, eat too much, and sit at our desks too much, our mitochondria deteriorate and our bodies suffer. MitoPure restores mitochondrial function, so every cell in your body has the energy to do its job and to keep you healthy and functioning right. In fact, clinical studies have shown that 500 milligrams of urolithin, one of the main ingredients in MitoPure, can significantly increase both muscle strength and endurance with no other change in lifestyle. MitoPure comes in powder form to mix into your favorite smoothie, protein powder if you're looking for a great 1-2 punch of muscle support, or soft gels. Improving your mitochondria is one of the best things you can do for your health, and with MitoPure from Timeline Nutrition, it has never been easier. So to take action, go to timelinenutrition.com and use promo code RUNNERSCONNECT for 10% off the plan of your choice.
Most often at Runners Connect, the interesting thing is that what we see runners who just train too hard. But what they're doing, they're training too hard intensity-wise. They're not taking enough rest, not enough recovery, not enough of a proper break, and that's definitely what's going on with Alex here. When I asked him about did he put in any down weeks, what I mean by a down week is a week in your training that you specifically reduce the intensity and the overall mileage. And what Alex said was, I missed a few days here and there, but I never purposefully reduced the training or workouts. And just to reiterate there, I had to explain to Alex. Alex had to write back to me and ask me what I meant by down weeks. He had to ask me he didn't even know what it meant. Boom, right there. No down weeks, no structured rest. And, you know, Alex is the kind of guy, he'll be damned if he's going to react to fatigue with anything but more hard work. That's just the way he is. But that's his body absolutely screaming for recovery and for rest. What Alex can do here is build in down weeks. I'll talk about that a little bit more at the end. The problem number three, quantity over quality. I'm not surprised. Anytime I see a great 5K time, but the results get a little bit weaker as that distance goes up. You know, these types of people, they're used to ripping those hard workouts, but not quite as used to long, slow, boring running. A great example here is anyone who's ever been involved in cycling and especially racing in cycling. Cycling is a sport where it is so much about the quantity. You know, you could go cycle for 45 minutes as hard as you possibly can every single day, and you're going to get absolutely creamed at the races by people out there who bike, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours every single day during the week and then go for a 6-hour ride on the weekend. They're going to smoke you. Even if you are biking way, way, way faster than them on all those rides, they're going to smoke you because it's about that quantity. You know, it takes hours. It takes time in the saddle. Running is not all that different, especially marathon running. You got to get out there and put in the easy, long, slow, boring volume. Alex's workouts are impressive, you know, but there are no medals for great workouts. I get it. It's not all about the medals. It's not all about the times, but you guys know what I mean. Alex, I mean this nicely. I'm really complimenting your work ethic with this, but you're what I like to call a workout hero. You know, Alex crushes the workouts. He nails them. But then on race day, he doesn't quite show the same promise. I think we've all either known people like that or we are that. I mean, I think we've all, and maybe you've been that way in your running career and then you've changed, or you've had phases where you were that way, or you've been like that and you've changed, or you've changed to be like that. Whatever it is, workout hero is not what you want to be. You want to be the person who works out smart, has workouts that may not get all the kudos on Strava, but it's going to get you where you want on race day. And honestly, it's going to make you happier overall, because if you're out there just ripping your body to shreds every single day, that's not really that fun either. You know, you're going to get injured. You're not going to feel good. You're going to have all this fatigue like Alex has. And it's not going to be very fun. Everything in Alex's plan is just too fast. You know, I'd rather see more mileage done slower overall. I'd rather see more easy aerobic running, some long, slow, long runs. Less fast stuff overall, some lighter tempos, you know, based on his description of his tempo runs. Those were hard. You know, those may as well have been races in their own right. He was running those very hard. I'd love to see him add in some steady runs. We typically do steady runs at Runners Connect where they're somewhere around your current fitness marathon pace. And these are very light. These are not hard. Most people who come into Runners Connect, we give them a steady run and they think that they should push it harder because it's not hard. And we tell them that's on purpose. That's by design. That's a feature, not a bug. We don't want those to be hard. So everything in general with Alex's plan is just too fast. So what should Alex do next time around to improve? Number one, and this is pretty obvious, Alex needs to slow down, especially on those easy days. What Alex needs to do, he needs to act like the marathon is brand new to him, that he's brand new to the marathon. He needs to act like it has no relation to the 5K. You know, the 5K and the marathon in Alex's mind should be like different sports. It should be like he's going from running to surfing or something that's totally unrelated. That's what this should be like for him. He's a total newbie. His easy paces need to be way, way slower. All the tempo and threshold stuff needs to be much more manageable. It's not just that it needs to be slower. It needs to be more manageable. What I like to tell people with any tempo, threshold type stuff, I want you finishing those workouts feeling like you could go 1 to 2 more miles. If you do 6 times a mile at about your threshold pace, I would want you to be able to at least at minimum do a 7th one if you had to. You know, if you took a little bit of rest and you came back, you could do a 7th one at that same exact pace if you had to. I don't want you to, but I want you to be able to, if that makes sense. You're always leaving one in the tank. And then, of course, add in some lighter, steady running. That's something I didn't really see. I saw a lot of stuff that was really fast, you know, and, well, pretty much everything was really fast. But I didn't see anything around that sort of, like, comfortable, you know, conversational marathon pace. I don't want to make marathon pace sound easy, but when you're out, if you go out and do a 6-mile steady run around marathon pace, that's not a particularly hard workout if you do it at your proper pace. The problem is Alex was assuming that his marathon pace was probably much faster than it really was. Given his current fitness, it will increase significantly in the future if he trains properly. But right now, it's not quite where he wanted it. But a 5-6 mile steady run at marathon pace, that's not a very hard workout, nor should it be. He needs more of that lighter, steady running and less of those just like ripping intervals, you know, 5K style running. He needs to do more of that easier running. Number two, Alex needs to build in down weeks. I wish we could just listen to our bodies and take rest when we need it. I really do. But runners like Alex, and Alex, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm right there with you. We don't always listen to that very well. The way around this is to build in a down week in your schedule. What I like to do, build in a down week every third week. Some people will do it every fourth week. I typically like to do it every third week. The way this works, you're going to do 2 weeks high, 1 week low. So 2 weeks where you're training normally, you know, you're building up your mileage, doing some quality workouts, doing a quality long run. And then you have 1 week where it's much lower. I like to see it lower both in mileage and intensity, because ultimately, if you just lower it by 5 miles, but everything else is the same, that's not really going to be that much lighter of a week. If you're running 35 miles with, let's say, 2 harder workouts and a long run, and all you do is reduce some of the easy runs and maybe the long runs a little shorter, that's not really that much of a down week, right? I like to see the mileage and the intensity reduced. So you have lighter workouts overall, your mileage is lower, your long run is lower, everything is reduced purposefully. It's a fail-safe, ultimately. It's a fail-safe against our instincts, which our instincts are going to tell us, no, we got to keep pushing. We can't get behind in training. A down week is just going to, you know, it's going to put us behind relative to where we want to be in our training. But this is a fail-safe against that, which is not sound thinking. So down weeks work really, really well built into your schedule, either every third or every fourth week. And then number three, I would actually like to see Alex up the mileage. But the caveat here is I want most of it to be easy. You know, at Runners Connect, we mostly abide by the 80-20 principle. That's 80% of your running should be easy, 20% of it should be, I like to say medium hard. I don't like to say hard because if you tell somebody 80% easy, 20% hard, they're going to think that 20%, you should just absolutely rip that. And that's 1/5 of your training. That could end up being a lot. If you're running 50 miles a week, that's 10 miles a week that are absolutely hard. I like to say 80% easy, 20% medium hard because we don't really want it to be that hard. And it's of course more complicated than that. But Alex, I'd love to see your next training cycle at, you know, more like 45 miles a week instead of 35, maybe even up to 50 eventually, but with the bulk of it at an easy effort. Alex, one strategy that can work here. I'm not necessarily a huge proponent of heart rate training all the time, but easy runs are a tremendous way to use heart rate. Even if you just have a simple wrist-based monitor, they're not as accurate as the chest ones, but they work pretty well. What you can do, you can either set a max heart rate and it will literally beep at you. And those of you out there who've used this, they know it is super annoying when it beeps at you. You want it to stop and hopefully you'll slow down your run in order to get it to stop. But get a heart rate monitor if need be, you know, whatever it takes to force yourself to run easy, you just got to do it. Because heart rate, that's one of the nice things about heart rate is that it won't lie. You know, you can go out and tell me that 920 pace is ridiculously easy for you. But if your heart rate is, you know, 150 when you're doing that, I'm not necessarily going to believe you based on your age and based on your likely maximum heart rate. Heart rate monitors will kind of force you to actually run easy. Don't pay such close attention to your pace. I'm much more concerned with the effort on those easy runs as well on really most of your runs than I am with the pace, especially as you transition to more of a marathon runner away from the 5K stuff that's so pace-based, all those, you know, interval workouts and such. But overall, if you run easier, you're going to handle more mileage. You're going to recover faster. Your workouts will be better. You'll feel better. And you'll just improve much more rapidly, especially at the marathon, but even at your lower events. What I don't want Alex to do, and I want to mention this, I don't want Alex to forget about the 5K. I don't want him to forget about all that speed work, that quicker stuff. That stuff is absolutely fantastic for the marathon. You know, it helps with your form, your running economy, all that. It's great. You know, don't just do long, slow marathon training. After your marathons, take 6 to 10 weeks to just focus on shorter 5K, 10K stuff. You want to vary it up. I don't like seeing anyone get stuck in a rut of marathon training or just 5K training. It'll help your running at every distance to vary it up. So do a big marathon cycle like we're talking about here. Take your rest after. We usually like to give people 2 to 3 weeks at least to recover from the marathon, and then do a 5K cycle where you reduce the mileage a little bit, you up the intensity, keep your easy runs easy. Nonetheless, that applies no matter what you're training for, and train for a 5K. Then when you go back to the marathon, it varies it up for your body. It doesn't get you stuck in a rut, and I'm telling you, it's going to help your running at every single distance, 5K to marathon. So that's all for you guys. Thank you, Alex, for sharing your story. I really appreciate it. Alex, you have loads of potential. You know, make these simple changes. You'll be way under 340 in no time at all based on your other times. I have absolutely no doubt. Thank you all for listening to the Runners Connect Training Plan Rescue, and I'll see you next time.
I don't know about you, but as a fellow type A personality aiming for high performance in my running life, I totally identify with Alex. That said, Coach Michael makes a great point about how these qualities can work against you in running. And his recommendations for Alex's next training cycle are the perfect counterweights to those tendencies. For example, he calls on Alex to run his easy days easy, perhaps using a heart rate monitor to stay in check, and to build in down weeks every 3 to 4 weeks where the mileage and the intensity are significantly reduced. And there's more, but I hope you enjoy this format of the podcast and we're able to apply some of Michael's analysis to your own training. We're really looking forward to the next episode in this series. Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast. I'm your host, Finn Melanson. As always, our mission here is to help you become a better runner with every episode. Please consider connecting with me on Instagram at WasatchFinn and the rest of our team at Runners Connect. Please consider supporting our show for free with a rating or review on the Spotify and Apple podcast players. And lastly, if you love the show and want bonus content, behind-the-scenes experiences with our guests, and premier access to contests, freebies, and giveaways, then subscribe to our newsletter by going to runnersconnect.net/podcasts. Until next time, happy training.